And I want to say a couple of words before we get started. The last few days, thoughts of this committee have never been far from my mind. It's weighed on me ever since the speaker asked me to be on the committee and to chair the committee. As I look around the room at the committee members, I see people that I agree with most of the time, and I see people that I probably never agree with on political views. But what I do see is people that I respect. Even when we don't agree politically, I respect your views, and I respect the fact that you do think, we both think, we're doing the right thing, and that's what's important. We've been given a very rare opportunity here. We've been given the opportunity to restore trust that the general public has lost in our profession. Folks, we can't fail in this. We have to accomplish this task, and I think that we can accomplish it because of the integrity and the devotion and dedication of the committee members. When we walk through the doors of the committee room, we can't walk through as Democrats, we can't walk through as Republicans, we have to walk through as Missourians. And I think if we remember that, then we'll be able to be successful in the task that we've been given. It's my intention to hear all the bills that are referred, unless we have 20 or 30 bills. You know, this is a political year, and everybody is filing bills, as we all know happens. But if it doesn't become too unwieldy, my intention is to hear all the bills that are referred and then work together as a committee to craft a bill that will come out of committee that we can then send on to the larger House. I will not send a bill out of this committee that does not have bipartisan support, because if I send a bill out that has all the Republicans voting for it and all the Democrats voting against it, then we haven't accomplished our task. And that's my pledge to you, that I want this to be a bipartisan committee working together to accomplish the goal. So with that, I want to say I appreciate each and every one of you for what you bring to this committee, and I appreciate the effort that you'll bring to this committee, and I think that we will show all the state of Missouri that we can work together to come up with a bipartisan bill that does what we need it to do to restore the trust. So with that, I thank you, and we will open the hearing on House Bill 1322. Oh, excuse me. I have to do housekeeping first. Ms. Gash, call the roll, please.
Chair Wilson?
Present.
Vice Chair Bake?
Present.
Representative Brandom?
Here.
Representative Bruns?
Here.
Representative Day?
Here.
Representative Nolte?
Here.
Representative Lipke?
Here.
Representative Burnett?
Here.
Representative Curls?
Here.
Representative Morris?
Here.
Representative Walsh?
Here.
Representative Whitney?
Here. Okay. Now, we will open the hearing on House Bill 1322. Representative Lavota.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Thank you, Committee. State Representative Paul Lavota, represent the 52nd District, which is in eastern Jackson County. I also serve as a House Minority Leader. I want to make sure I emphasize a point to you, Mr. Chairman of the Committee, that I greatly appreciate the work that you'll be doing, the approach that you're going to have, the fact that the speaker set up this committee, worked with the minority leader to get the high-quality members that you have, and it sounds to me like the approach is exactly right, and I hope I can be as supportive as possible. As a minority leader, I'm the first to criticize when things aren't moving quickly, but the fact that this is the first bill of your committee shows a real genuine interest to try to look at all the different ideas, whether you agree with them or not. So I just want to thank you, Mr. Chairman, thank the committee, thank the speaker, thank the majority floor leader, who I can't believe I actually my bill's before his, Mr. Chairman. But I think it just shows a commitment to open up the ideas. So with that said, I'm here to introduce House Bill 1322. It is my belief that integrity in state government is paramount in moving Missouri forward. Citizens must have trust in their elected officials. and ending any type of perception that our government is for sale in the state capitol must be our top priority this session. I think the big issue that erodes trust in our government is the amount of money in the system. For that reason, I'm sponsoring House Bill 1322, and that will reinstate campaign finance limits in our state. As you know, Missouri voters imposed the limits in 1994 with 73.9% support. Legislation repealing limits passed the House of Representatives with just one vote to spare during the waning hours of the 2008 legislative session. I believe the lack of limits has been harmful to our system, and this fact is well documented in recent press articles. It is imperative that we follow the people's wishes and reinstate the limits. So what my bill would contain is a few things. First, it would limit campaign donations from any person other than the candidate in one election to candidates for statewide office at $2,000, for state senator, $1,000, for state representative, $500. Contribution limits for local candidates' donations are based on population and specified in the bill. Mr. Chairman and committee, these are a bit different from where they were before. They're a little bit higher. And I guess, for whatever it's worth, I think this committee can go through and look at other proposals and see if those are the right limits. I think limits more than anything else, besides these specific numbers, are the most important part. It would also limit donations made or accepted by political party committees to $2,000 for statewide candidates, $1,000 for state senator, $500 for state representatives. It will require so that reinstates limits. But there's also another provision, and I think this provision, not only is limits important, but this provision is important. So we don't go back to what we had before. It will establish a penalty payable to the Missouri Ethics Commission of $1,000 for any violation of campaign contribution limits by any committee that requires a candidate to return the allowable contribution. So there's going to be a real penalty in there as well. The bill also I have too many paperwork here, Mr. Chairman. Well, there's another provision which I think is important. Maybe I didn't add it in here in this bill. it will be part of another bill. I know Representative Fluke and Representative Kander has in there that would also ban committee-to-committee transfers, which would make sure that we go directly there. I think that's an important provision if we get any type of contribution limit back. With that said, Mr. Chairman, I guess I would answer any questions that you may have. I didn't put together any witnesses. I think that we all know the issue. I believe that any type of perception that we're getting way too high of a campaign donation and any perception that that affects legislation, if we return back to the limits, the fact that the people of Missouri want that, we need to make sure that we reinstate that and get rid of any type of question that we're down here not doing the right thing. So with that, I'll be glad to answer any questions that you have. Oh, wait. Can I add one other thing? And I have copies of this, if you like, for me. There is an editorial from KMBC TV editorial saying that campaign limits are crucial to ethics reform. There's one that I'm sure you're familiar with, the St. Louis Post-Dispatch, saying that the campaign limits are crucial to ethics reform. The Kansas City Star said the exact same thing. And additionally, our governor of Missouri sent us all a letter, and try to get some of his good quotes here. We're going to be hearing enough from him today, but no effort to reform the ethical culture of public service in the state or the ethical stature of those of us who live in the service day in and day out can be truly manifest with of those who serve unless it reinstates previous limits on campaign contribution and closes the loopholes that would render them meaningless. That's from our governor, Ona.
I believe I do.
But I wanted to bring that up, Mr. Chairman, because this is an idea that is pushed by Governor Nixon as well, pushed by the minority party in the past. But this bill is also bipartisan. Many of the majority party has signed on to it, too. I guess with that, I'll answer questions. I hope that I can answer your questions and you use this bill or the idea of limits as part of your consideration as you move forward.
Thank you, Representative. Do we have questions for the bill sponsor? Representative Brandon?
Forgetting the press for a few minutes and what they write, but would you be specific on why you think campaign limits are, that not having campaign limits is detrimental?
Sure. There's been examples in this legislature of times where a very large campaign donation has come coincidentally the same time legislation was moved. I do not believe there's anyone who broke the law or anything like that. I believe that the fact that we don't have limits raises too many questions. And when we're talking about whether it's this or other proposals, we need to reinstate what the people of Missouri want us to do so they have that trust level that contributions are not affecting our legislation. I hope that makes sense.
Do you not think that people got around limitations in the past, whether they set up lots of different PACs or corporations or whatever, mm-hmm. and went ahead and did large corporations?
Well,
this way we all can read who made them.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think people did. Mm-hmm. I think bad players will continue to break any rule that we make. I believe that when we reinstate the limits, that most people are going to follow those to the letter of the law, and we won't have this question over our head anymore. That's why I also think the other provision that you'll be considering of the committee-to-committee ban is an important part. Now, the proponents of getting rid of the limits always said this adds more transparency. Unfortunately, when you talk about the only way that you can look is get on the computer and besides people in this building, I wonder how many people actually look and see how much people actually give directly. So that's why I think that limit is important. And if you don't mind, Representative, just to add one other thing about you mentioned the press. There seems to be in the press some type of we're either going to limit campaign contributions or we're going to ban lobbying gifts. I think that's a false choice. I think that's something for you as the committee to consider. You could do both. You could do neither, whatever it may be. I would support both, but I don't think there's one or the other. I just want to mention that.
Thank you.
Further questions? Representative Lipke? I'm sorry, John.
To inquire?
Proceed.
Your bill, I don't see anything that says anything. If you put the limit at statewide for $2,000, I mean, your bill doesn't have any mechanism in there that would prohibit bundling by one particular individual who goes out and solicits, let's say, $25,000 and $2,000 maximum, you know, amounts.
You mean get 10 people to give $2,000?
Right, and all of a sudden you've got $20,000, and then what does your bill accomplish?
Well, it accomplishes the fact that only one person can give $2,000.
But in reality, the one person's going out to solicit much more than that. And so if you're worried about someone buying influence or whatever, don't you still run into the same problem that you stated earlier?
I think it's important that I say that I don't think we solve every problem with this bill, and there's ways around it. There's provisions that in other bills that make that a felony if you're going to try to deceive that. That's something for you guys to look at as well. So I guess my answer to your question would be that should be considered as well. This, I think, just simply reinstates what the people of Missouri want us to do, and reinstates that threshold that says this is how much money a person should be giving.
So, I mean, is it your concern that no matter what the dollar amount is set at, I mean, what you've set it at $2,000, I guess I'm trying to get at the disclosure argument that you brought up, and that I think the more disclosure or the more that it comes to the forefront, so that if, let's say, the committee decides that we don't want to put campaign contribution limits back on, okay, would it not be another mechanism that we could use or consider to make disclosure much greater? Because here's the example. Somebody gives $50,000.
Mm-hmm.
It gets reported on that quarterly report, and then it kind of sifts back to the background.
Right.
What if we considered putting it on every single report so that it's out there every single time? What if we required someone that gave that amount to disclose themselves, what their interests are, who they might pay to advocate for a particular position?
Mm-hmm. Well,
as an alternative
limits. I think anything that the committee would say that we need to do to increase transparency, I would support. I guess that the fact that there's no limits and the fact that we are seeing campaign donations, we're talking up, I saw one up to $100,000. And that adds too many questions. And when the people in Missouri said they wanted limits, in our federal elections, we have limits. It's part of our national election process. And somehow in Missouri, we don't have limits at all. And we can get such an outrageous number. No matter how much you disclose, it's still not going to pass the test, I think, that the people in Missouri want. And maybe you're getting at the fact that is it 2,000, is it 3,000, is it 500? I think when we go through that, it's not as important as the fact that we are saying money should be limited and that there should be full transparency.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm looking at your surcharge idea here, and I kind of like that because it gives a sanction less than a felony. In other words, we don't have to charge people with felonies just because they violate a law. But I'm not clear on what it does. It says $1,000 surcharge shall be transferred upon notification of such an amount and after the candidate has had 10 business days to return the contribution. So do you propose that we have that $1,000 surcharge whether or not they return it, or is that a way to avoid the surcharge, I guess, by returning it?
Well, the penalty is there when they violate the law.
Right.
So the penalty is there to make sure that they're not violating the law. I don't know if that answers your question, or are you asking when the $1,000 would be?
Can they avoid the penalty by returning the contribution, I guess?
Well,
within the 10 days.
They can within the 10 days.
Okay.
They can avoid the penalty by not taking it as well.
Right.
Right.
Okay. So it gives a way that the Ethics Commission can actually ride herd in a time-sensitive way.
That's right.
And say, sort of throw the flag and say, back up to the...
That's correct.
4 yards. Okay. Thanks.
Anybody can send a contribution,
right?
And you would have 10 days to send it back, say, no, you've exceeded the limit. And mm-hmm. I think that was that's right. How I read it.
Right,
I
that happens.
Yeah, absolutely.
That happens, yeah. People will send that
they don't know.
Understand might yeah. exceed the limit. Yeah.
Yeah, that's a good question. Yeah. Thank you. Representative Whitty, did you have a question?
Yes.
Proceed.
Representative, you indicated in your bill that it had a provision to ban committee transfers that you thought that it
well, I thought I drafted it that way. I don't see it in there.
Okay, would you look
you know,
on...
The good news is that...
Would you look on page 2?
Sure.
Line 24?
If I can find the bill now.
Want me to bring it to you?
No, I'm good.
Anyway, it says, every committee established under this chapter shall be subject to the limits prescribed in subsection 1 of this section. So that, to me, indicates that a committee cannot
committee
make...
has the same limit, right?
Right. So is
but it doesn't do the full ban that I think may be necessary.
The full ban.
I'm arguing against my bill here with Bruce, but the fact that we should probably look at the idea that one committee doesn't need to give money to another committee, because that is only a way to hide the transparency of it. What this does is just puts the limit on the committee itself.
All right, and you're proposing a complete ban of committee transfer.
I think that's something that we should consider because, you know, the concern about transparency, we do not want to get into a situation that we actually have been before and we actually are now, regardless of limits, where we have this committee give to this committee, give to this committee, give to this committee, then to a candidate, and so you don't have any transparency where the money actually came from.
Right. Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. I had two questions. One was, do you have any information as far as have the lifting of campaign limits resulted in a net gain more than you would expect as far as donations to campaign committees and candidate committees, or has it been just kind of the same amount of money and it's just configured differently?
You know, that's a good question. I don't know exactly if that's the case, and it is a little hard to tell, as we did that in the middle of an election year and we went through. But I think when you look at the disclosures, you can see there are people who get a tremendous campaign donation, and then there's some who don't. Maybe they would be able to get around the issue, but I think putting back the limits just past the common sense rule.
The other question I had was, this is maybe a little bit more nebulous, and that is, how would the reinstatement of campaign limits affect the dynamics between office holders, candidates, and their political parties and those committees who, obviously, a party committee is going to have a lot more ability to bundle donations and mm-hmm. then divvy them out. How do you see that dynamic playing out under your scenario?
In my bill here, it has the limits on a party as well. Now, a party is allowed under this to spend as much as they want in kind, but a direct campaign contribution, they'll be subject to the limit as well.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, to inquire. Mr. Lavoda, normally I'm not one that likes a lot of punitive things to happen, and certainly there is nothing here for that, only that the Ethics Commission would charge them $1,000 plus the amount. What if the Ethics Commission does receive these funds, what happens to those funds?
If they would get the $1,000 fine?
Yes. Does the Ethics Commission then return those funds to the?
No, I think they would keep it to help take care of any expenses they had to enforce this new provision. Because we're asking them to do an extra thing. They'll use that money to do that.
It does. Okay. Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you, Mr. Chair, to comment. Thank you. I agree, Representative Voda, that some amount of campaign finance limits are going to be crucial to ethics reform. I also know that we are here today to eliminate the perception that folks can't buy our support here in the legislature. I don't know how we would be able to be successful in that with some amount of campaign finance limits. I agree with many of the members here that surely this bill does not do everything, but clearly it's a start in the right direction. So I am supportive of the bill. I am supportive of limits in some amount. I think certainly the committee here would determine whether we would have any limits or whether we change the amount of limits here in this bill. But I do think it's a progressive start to ethics reform.
Well, so I appreciate it. And that's why I guess I'm so thankful to the chairman and the speaker. It sounds like you're going to hear all these ideas and you're going to sort this out. And so right. as I'm introducing a bill, I'm really just introducing an idea for you to consider for a committee substitute.
Right.
And you can get into the details of what the limit should be and everything else. I'm just here advocating the idea that the people of Missouri voted for limits. It's part of our process on the federal level, and that to really reinstate, have true ethics reform, comprehensive ethics reform, we have to deal with that, and we have to have some type of campaign limits.
I agree. We're here to eliminate that perception, and for some folks around our state, perception is real.
I guess what my fear is that we'll look at other provisions, which should be looked at.
Of course.
And we won't deal with this, and we'll still be sitting with a perception from the people of Missouri that we're not doing the right thing.
Right. I agree. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Representative, on page 2, line 44, you've got contributions from persons under 14 years of age shall be considered made by the parents or guardians. What was the reason for choosing 14 years of age?
That was actually part of the law before. And just to make sure that, you know, I don't give a large campaign donation from my 13-year-old doesn't give a large campaign donation to your campaign, for example. It's clear where that money would be coming from. It's clear that that would be an attempt to try to overcome the limits by going around and trying to use another individual.
Sure, I understand that, but why not 17 or 16, 18?
Yeah, I mean, that's a good question to consider. I just kind of tried to take it back to where it was before.
All right. Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
We all know the teenagers have the money, but they're probably not giving it to political candidates.
Right. Right.
Spending on other things.
That's right.
Further questions for the bill sponsor? Okay. Do we have any witnesses in favor of House Bill 1322? Okay. Anyone to speak in opposition to House Bill 1322? Okay. Anyone to speak for informational purposes on House Bill 1322? Okay. Thank you very much. That closes the hearing on House Bill 1322. We will now proceed to House Bill 1500. Representative Tilley.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. My name is Steve Tilley, representing the great people of the 106th District, and I appreciate having the opportunity to present House Bill 1500 for your consideration. Public service is an honor. It demands accountability, responsibility, and leadership. And obviously there's been a lot of discussion about ethics reform, and it's not just occurred this year. It's occurred many years in the past. But I think the time is right to really take an in-depth look and structurally change the way we do things here in Jefferson City. And whenever I decided to present this bill, I wanted to do things that truly structurally change the way things occur here. And I built it upon a foundation of multiple things, and there's a lot of ideas out there. And Representative Lavota mentioned one with campaign contribution limits. We've got other bills out there from Representative Fluke and Representative Kander, and certainly mine doesn't cure all the ills, but I think structurally it can make a big difference. And it's built on a few pillars, and here are those pillars. First and foremost, it eliminates lobbyist meals and gifts. To me, it's just a common sense thing, and I come as a sinner, not necessarily a saint, because I, like many of you, have accepted them. And I don't think anyone that I know of has done anything unethical or illegal with regards to that, but certainly the perception is not good. For example, I could go and make a phone call and get tickets to a Cardinals game for me and my family whenever I want. I doubt many people in my district would have that same ability. And just because we happen to serve in the General Assembly, I don't think that gives us an inherent right to be able to do that. As far as meals, you all are well aware that we get a per diem, and the taxpayers are paying for our food. So why would it be necessary or mandated or reasonable that the lobbyists have to pay for our meals? I think the average citizen in our district would agree with me. Second thing, in this bill would prevent members from going from legislator to lobbyist. It would provide a break. It's similar to the break that they have on the federal level, and this bill would be 180 days. It's a starting point. I know there's a lot of discussion around the building of is it reasonable for us to dictate what people can and cannot do when they leave the legislature. I think that's a reasonable discussion to have, but I think it's important that we talk about it. It would prohibit the perception that the governor or anybody in the executive branch could buy your votes. I mean, we had recent instance last year where staff from the governor's office was making insinuations that if you voted a certain way, there would be professional opportunities in the future. At best, that's unethical, and at worst, it's illegal. And my bill would prevent members from the General Assembly to being appointed to jobs until they've left the General Assembly for 180 days. This bill would prevent the perception that people who give lots of money can get on any board or any commission that they'd like. It prohibits what it would do is if you're appointed by the governor, first and foremost, you'd have to have disclosure of what that person is given. And second, if approved by the Senate, they'd have to return the contribution. And so I think this bill is a good starting point. Like Representative LaVota, it doesn't fix all the ills, but I certainly think it merits your consideration. I hope many of the provisions that you look at in this committee, Mr. Chairman, that your final product will include some of these provisions. I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Questions for the bill sponsor? Representative Burnett.
Sure, I'll start.
How are you doing?
Great. I was working through the various little reforms I guess you have here, but I guess I'll just start at the top. You don't include campaign limits. Why are you against campaign limits?
Well, I mean, you and I had this discussion, I believe, yesterday on a television show. And actually, it was probably the best part of the whole show.
The only place that we really disagreed.
Yeah, that's right. Completely. And, you know, I think I go back to, you know, one, I think the system that we have is transparent. The fact that Representative Voda could say this person received this much money and this bill moved or whatever it was, that's public knowledge. Under the old system, it wasn't. Under the old system, Republicans and Democrats used all these committees that funneled money and went everywhere, and the average person could not really understand who was funding campaigns and who was not. Now, I think Representative Nolte had a great point when he asked, has it decreased the overall amount of money in politics? And the answer was, I don't know. And I would tell you, if you go around and visit with lobbyists, their budget hasn't changed. Just because we removed limits didn't mean they had more money to spend in the process. And I think that's the case across the state. And so I think we have a pretty transparent system. Now, is there things that we can do better? Yes, I think there is. I talked to Representative Kander earlier today. I'm supportive of eliminating the committee-to-committee transfer. If you're going to take the money, take it openly, honestly, to where everybody can find out. The second part of it is I think that beyond the issue that Representative Nolte just mentioned is that whenever you take the contribution and whenever you accept the money, it should just be open and transparent. And I think that's whenever you put limits on and you see it on the federal level. There's limits on the federal level, but the cost of running a campaign on the federal level has skyrocketed. And what you've seen is situations where you've got these MoveOn.org groups and these Swift Boat Veterans for Truth groups. The money is still going to get in the process. It's just not accountable to anybody, and it's not transparent. I think the system that we've got is not perfect, but it's certainly better than the old system.
Sure. If we accept Representative Nolte's hypothesis that we have a finite amount of money or a relatively finite amount of money in the system, and I think that's probably a reasonable assertion, don't the lack of campaign limits then make that money flow to the majority party or to the people with more influence in the process and make it more difficult to elect a representative body?
Well, you would think so, but the single biggest contributor in political campaigns is unions, and that money overwhelmingly goes to the Democrats. So I think that would not certainly fit your hypothesis.
Well, but there's money on both sides of the table. I mean, there are other contributors that
Yeah, but your point said without limits, the majority of the money goes to the majority.
No. I don't say the majority of the money goes to the majority party. What I say is that the majority of the money, more money will go to the more influential people in the process.
Whether you have limits or you do not have limits, that will occur.
Right, but it will occur more so without limits.
I don't necessarily agree with that because I think the same money ends up in the same spot. It's just not transparent.
It's just not as fast.
Well, it's not. That's right. But it's run through different committees, and it's not transparent. So I think at the end of the day, it ends up the same, except the public isn't aware of it.
Okay. And you do support the ban on committee to committee.
Absolutely.
I would assume you would support some sanctions about that.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely. I think the committee to committee transparency, even though it wasn't included in my bill, mm-hmm. I think it could be and should be an important part of the reforms.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Morris, I think I missed you a minute ago. I'm sorry.
That's all right. Thank you, Mr. Chairman, to inquire.
Proceed.
Yes, Representative, I think that on the whole, I like the language of what you've presented here. I, too, believe, however, that there should be something about about campaign finance.
Sure.
I don't like the fact that that's not apparent. But let me say this as and perhaps I shouldn't say this as a fat man on the committee. I wonder what the cost to the citizens of Missouri is if a lobbyist takes care of our meals. What is the cost to the citizens of Missouri in meals?
Well, I would say the cost to citizens is due to our per diem. They're supposed to be we get a per diem, which is supposed to cover lodge and food. And the fact is that – and so you get that per diem per day. And so if a lobbyist buys your meal and covers it, then you're not using the taxpayer money to pay for your meal, so I guess it just goes in your pocket and it's used for other issues. And, you know, I don't think anyone here on this committee is going to change their vote for a $30 steak dinner.
I agree.
But I do think it's gotten out of control. Mm-hmm. I mean, in the past, if you had $1,000 or $2,000 or $3,000 worth of gifts and meals, it was I wouldn't say average, but probably on the high side of average. Now you've got people over $10,000. So what used to be a concern, I think now is a problem. And I think it's something that the average citizen, if you talk to them, they'd say, you know what, that makes sense. And another note on it, as far as lobbyist meals and lobbyist gifts and the difference between, why is one thing acceptable for a big contribution but a $30 steak isn't, I think for a couple reasons. One, it's apples to oranges. But two, if you take I believe lobbyist meals and lobbyist gifts are more of a personal benefit. And let me tell you how. If I wanted to take my wife and my two kids to a game and go out to dinner, I could have a lobbyist pay for it. That's a personal benefit. However, if I wanted to do the same thing, I couldn't just pay for it out of my campaign funds. So I think when you look at lobbyist meals and gifts, it's just a personal benefit that we shouldn't necessarily just feel like we're entitled to.
Mm-hmm. I raised an eyebrow when you said that you could pick up the phone and call a lobbyist and tell them that you wanted to go to a baseball game and they would provide a ticket for you. I haven't had that happen.
I'm sure that if you made the phone call, you would, and I'm sure that if every member in this body was intellectually honest with themselves, they would probably accept that they could as well. So I don't think maybe they answer the phone a little quicker for me, but I'm sure you would be able to.
I guess I don't do it because I believe in the fact that we ought to actually even shun the appearance of evil. So
right. No, you make a point, And I'm curious what your thoughts are on this. You mentioned campaign finance. You know, on the federal level, a congressional individual can raise just as much as the president. Mm-hmm. They're both capped at the same limit. If you are supportive of limits, are you also supportive of the federal model where it doesn't matter if you're a state rep or your state senator or your governor, they all can raise the same amount of money?
I think there should be caps.
Okay. But would they all be capped at the same level like the federal system?
Perhaps no.
Okay.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Further questions? Representative Woody. Proceed.
I was thinking about that when Representative Lavota presented his bill. Why should a governor be entitled to a bigger monetary contribution than a state rep? And they have so many more people to draw from, they can still raise the
infinitely more.
Right.
So
when you're talking about caps, you're talking about the cap on the amount of the contribution.
That's right. Right. And, you know, I think, it's public knowledge. I think no limits actually is more transparent to the system. But if you're talking about putting a cap on it, I think it's more reasonable to put the same cap for a state rep as you do a state senator or as you do a governor. Because the governor has more people, they have a bigger pool of people to draw from.
Theoretically.
Right. Well, I would say they have a bigger pool of people to draw from.
Well, people that live outside your district could still contribute to you.
Sure.
If they wanted you elected.
Sure, but I think just logical thought would be people would be more interested in supporting someone that they can vote for.
Okay.
As a general rule.
And this thing about transparency, I still think that caps should be placed on campaign contributions. You know, your example or somebody's example about bundling, you still have 10 people that whoever made the contributions, the candidate still has to answer to 10 people if he answers to any of them, and not just one that made a contribution of thousands of dollars. And you can't tell me that puts a check with a bunch of zeros on the end of it in your campaign account, that's got to influence you somehow. I don't mean you personally,
sure,
but the candidate somehow. You're going to pay more attention to their requests. That needs to stop.
Well, and I think the Representative Lipke's point on that, and I think it's a good point, is, and I don't know how you fix it, but I think it's a good point if you have somebody that says, you know what, I'm not going to write you a $50,000 check, but I'm going to call all my business associates and collect $50,000 checks from you. What's the difference between writing a $50,000 check and bundling 50? I think he's correct on that. I don't know how you fix it, but I think your point is certainly well taken.
Okay.
But do you think we should cap the amount of time somebody spends volunteering for a campaign?
No.
Well, my point is some people have unlimited time and they believe in a candidate, so they're like, you know what, I'm going to knock on doors for this person 6 days a week. Some people don't have the time, but they have the resources and they say, I believe in this candidate, so I'm going to invest my resources in them. Do you think there's a drastically difference?
Yeah, somehow I do.
Okay.
I can't explain it, but there is.
All right.
I want to talk about...
That's interesting.
Committee-to-committee ban.
Sure.
If you cannot donate to another committee, from your own candidate's committee, right, then you're going to need a lot less campaign contributions.
Say that again so I can follow you.
If your candidate's committee cannot donate to another candidate's committee, if there's a committee-to-committee ban in place,
right,
then you're going to need a lot less campaign contributions to begin with. Correct? Because you just need enough money to win your own race. If you cannot donate to any other candidate's committee, then you just need enough
right.
money to win your own race.
Yeah, and I think... And I hope this committee looks at it, because I certainly think as a candidate, if I think you're doing a good job and I want to support you in your candidacy, I think that should be acceptable. I think the candidate committee to candidate committee, I don't have a huge problem with. The one thing I have a problem with is continuing committee to continuing committee. These committees that are set up, and let me just give you an example.
Or a continuing committee to a candidates committee?
Yes.
You want that? You don't?
Well, I think that's something that should be considered, right?
A ban on those.
Right.
Okay.
So, I mean, let me give you an example. If you're supportive, and we were talking about it earlier today, if you're supportive of issues like stem cell research, and I don't think you should have the money sent to one committee and that committee send it to you just so you mask the fact that you're being supported by people who support embryonic stem cell research. I think that flies in the face of the transparency that we're trying to occur. I think it should be fixed.
And I
think this committee has a task of trying to figure out how to fix it.
Okay, well, we would ban committee-to-committee transfers, but why not ban transfers from one candidate's committee to another?
Because I think what I'm trying to achieve with committee-to-committee banning of that is the transparency. And I think with candidate committees, you're not going to. I think the transparency is certainly a different issue on that.
Using your example, the supporters of embryonic stem cell research could make an unlimited campaign contribution.
That's exactly
to your candidate's
right.
Committee.
That's exactly
and you
right.
You spread it out among all the other candidates who do not necessarily support.
And I will tell you,
embryonic stem cell research. So why shouldn't that be banned?
I understand it, and I think there's going to be loopholes for any bill that you have.
And I may, think we need and, to try and to close those
that's
loopholes.
And if that's the case where you can't give to another candidate, then so be it.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Representative Bruns, and I'll get to you, Representative Curls.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, to inquire.
Proceed.
I will follow up later.
No.
Later.
Representative, I'm intrigued by something you said a couple minutes ago about, and I think I heard you right, is there a difference between somebody donating monetarily to you versus somebody that goes out and knocks on doors an unlimited amount of time?
Right. I don't see a difference.
So, yeah, and I don't think I do either, that what's the difference if somebody gives you $1,500 versus a group that and $1,500, let's say, to do a mailing mm-hmm. Versus somebody that goes out and takes those flyers that you were going to mail and hand delivers them door to door.
It follows the same logic. And that's the point. I mean, I don't think we should limit how much somebody's time you can give to a campaign. If they believe in that candidate, I think that's the American way. That's how democracy works. But it also works with resources. And I think, I think it's pretty clear that nobody can point to the fact that limits actually decreases the amount of money that goes in the process. It just gets put in different areas that's less transparent. So
to follow that logic, if we cap the amount of money somebody can give, should we cap the amount of time that somebody can give?
If you're intellectually honest with the argument, you should.
Thank you.
Representative Curls, and I'll get back to Representative Woody.
Thank you to inquire.
And I'm against that.
I agree that I think the notion of volunteer time was an interesting one that I certainly had not thought about. However, I think that what we have to be careful of is excess. If someone were to give, say, 100 hours or more, it probably would not be maybe $50,000 worth of their time. Maybe it was.
Right.
But in most cases, it probably would not be.
Do you think that person that donated 100 hours, do you think the representative would pay a little more attention to that person that donated 100 hours to their campaign?
Of course. Human nature. Human nature.
Okay.
But I think that, again, we're here because of public perception.
Right.
So if we want to be able to negate a negative perception of us as legislators, I think we have to deal with excess. And that, for me, still goes back to campaign finance limits. I mean, clearly the amount that Representative Lavota has may be low for me or for others or whatever I think would be fair. I think what we have to deal with is excess.
Right. And I agree with you, and I think we're here certainly to improve the perception. But what I don't want to do is change things to improve the perception, but then actually, from a structural standpoint, make it worse with transparency.
Well, even with bundling, true, it wouldn't be as transparent. Maybe there needs to be some legislation. Of course, it'd be harder to prove or harder to enforce, but maybe by the mere fact that it's there, it would provide some deterrent for some right. folks in some way. So that's something we should consider also. It would clearly be difficult to prove and to track, but maybe by the mere fact that it would be in legislation, would maybe give some deterrent to some folks in some of those areas.
Right, and
that's something we need.
Obviously, I've made it clear that I think limits are a bad idea. But if limits are put on my bill, I'm not going to kill the bill just because of that. Now, I think the Senate will have different viewpoints on it from the Republicans and Democrats. Right. I think overwhelmingly, removal of limits was approved in the Senate. But I want to see something significantly done, and I think, with the environment that we've got now, we have an opportunity to get something significantly done. And I think we will look back 20 years from now or 10 years ago now when we're all gone, and if we can pass something significantly, we can look back and say, that was something that we really did a good job with.
Right. I understand that. Last point. It is. It's still for me, and I hate to keep going back to campaign finance limits. but it is more difficult, of course, for me to address a meal issue and not, you know, maybe the limits need to be $10,000. Maybe right. they need to be $15,000. Maybe right. it doesn't need to be $500. And that's part of the concern right. here. But as I said, I think it just goes back to excess. I mean, at what point is it excessive? And at what point does it give the perception to the general public that there may be some additional consideration sure. given for additional
sure.
monies? Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Trying to figure out where all these people are that donate the 100 hours. You know, my kids donated a lot of time to get me out of the house, but, you know, other than that, I didn't have 100. But I know there are people out there that do it.
Right. And I just think if
– yeah, I mean, you bring a good point that we hadn't represented.
I think it's something you ought to look at.
I thought about it. It's a very good point. Representative Morris, and then Dave, and then Witte had to follow up.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, just to inquire again. I have to piggyback on what Representative Curls is saying. I think that what is out there, Representative, is the appearance of clearly cash for votes,
sure,
money for votes.
Sure.
And I don't think there is a way to not address that and say we're doing anything that's going to make the general public feel better about what's happening here in Jefferson City. I think we must address that in some way. And to say that there should be no limits does not address the public's concern about the cash for votes. I don't know. I wouldn't know who gave 100 hours for knocking on doors. I wouldn't know that based upon the people who knock doors for me. But I would know who gave a check for $5,000.
So would you say that the people that volunteer then should be disclosed?
Maybe they should be. Maybe they ought to list how many hours they knock for doors. Maybe we ought to report that as well. But I'm saying that I would not know the persons who knocked on doors and the right. number of hours, and that might not transfer into their wanting a specific vote for me or the appearance of their wanting sure. a specific vote for me as opposed to someone who gives me a $50,000 right. check. And I think that's where the sure. area is clouded.
Well then I think what then you would want to do is if that is the case, if you think we want to eliminate the perception, and I think it's a compelling argument that influence can be created or provided by things other than money. It can be provided by time and other things that you could donate to a campaign. Then under that argument, then you should have people disclose how much time they spend. And I don't think that's a good idea because I don't want to create a barrier for people to get involved in the political process. We want to encourage people to get involved.
I think the lack of being able to write a $50,000 check is a barrier as well.
Yeah,
because most people can't write me a $50,000 check.
And this is
an area for their
and
getting involved.
And, Representative, do you think by putting a limit, the people who can write a $50,000 check will no longer write the $50,000 check?
I think so.
You really believe that?
I really do.
So you think by putting a cap, so on the federal system where they cap people at $4,800, you trying to tell me you don't think people get $50,000?
I'm not talking about the federal system.
Well,
I'm talking about
but the federal system is based off of a cap.
Mm-hmm.
So my question to you is, do you think people who can afford to write $50,000 checks in federal elections are not doing it?
No, I believe they are.
You're exactly right.
I believe they are.
You're exactly right.
But
they will do it under the state system like they did in the past.
The perception of is what we're trying to do here is to create an environment
right.
where we're not looking like we're doing a lot of quid pro quo. I think that's what I'm trying to do here.
And I agree with your effort to try and improve the perception. But what I don't want to do is, in an effort to improve the perception, make the problem worse mm-hmm. by making it less transparent.
I don't believe it'll make it worse. I just really don't.
Okay.
Let me just make a note here. We're going to have plenty of time as the committee goes forward to discuss this. Actually, campaign contributions, which we spent a lot of time on, isn't a part of this bill. So it is a debate that,
I appreciate that, Mr. Chairman, but I think this committee is going to have to certainly take a big view of it, too.
So I don't
take offense to it.
We are going to have to take a big view. This will be something that we're going to wrestle with as we move forward, because I can tell already that we have some very diverse opinions
sure.
on this, which is a good thing. brings a lot to the committee, but I do think we need to focus on what is in this particular.
Actually, I thought it just meant that there was a consensus on my bill and that was already accepted.
Maybe we'll discuss that. Representative Whitty, you had a quick follow-up, and then I have a couple up here. Okay. You sure? Okay. Representative Day? Okay. First time you've ever listened to me, so that's good. Representative Faith, did you have something?
Just to make a comment, Mr. Chairman. I'll just be brief, but to equate that, as in political campaigns, it's like nonprofit boards, not-for-profit boards. There are people who serve on boards who don't have the money, who want to work, who want to participate, who want to be there for those meetings, who want to get the events done, who want to do the work that needs to be done. And then there are people that do not have the time. So this equates to a similar situation. They don't have the time to do that, but they have the funds to be able to do that. So that's just a common sense thing. And my last statement is that we cannot legislate perception and right and wrong. I think we need to keep that in mind. We're not going to come up with the most wonderful thing and the most perfect thing, but our goal here is to work out those needs and to not step on what we're trying to fix and making it worse. Thank you.
Further questions for the bill sponsor? Representative Brandon.
I would just like to make a comment. Down where I live in the Boot Hill, the majority of
God's country.
Right. The majority of my constituents do not take the Post or the Kansas City Star. And if they're not a political junkie, they really don't follow the blogs and this sort of thing. And their main interest in this bill is disallowing political consulting while serving in office. And that is an issue that sticks with them. They don't talk to me at all about campaign limits. They don't even know what they are usually unless they're a political junkie. But they're very concerned about doing political consulting while we serve in the legislature.
You know, and that wasn't mentioned, but I think it certainly would go towards improving the perception. This is not a Republican issue or a Democratic issue. You've got members from both parties who have served as consultants as members of the General Assembly. And this would also prohibit them setting up a consulting firm in their wife's name or their kid's name. And so I think that's a provision of the bill that I didn't mention, but it's important. There's also a provision in there that if you are a staff member, that you have to disclose whether you're doing any political activity. I think that's good. So I think there's a lot of things in here that I think if you read, you'll say, you know what? That makes common sense. It would make a significant structural change of the way things are done here, and I agree with you. In our region, that's important.
Further questions for the bill sponsor? Okay. Seeing none, anyone here to testify in support of House Bill 1500? Anyone to testify in opposition to House Bill 1500? Anyone to testify for informational purposes? Mr. Reed, are you information or against?
Information.
Okay, I assume that, but I spoke quickly, so I want to make sure.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman.
How can I not speak loud enough? Most of you know I speak rather loud most of the time. A couple of things that we would put in, and Representative, in light of what you said about political consultants, I direct your attention to 105.463.5, which speaks of being a political consultant, and it says no individual holding office as state representative or state senator shall accept or receive compensation as a political consultant. We would suggest that you also add that no one shall receive and include the words, or agree to accept or receive compensation in the future as a political consultant. So making sure that people are not working as a political consultant now or trying to establish such a consulting business in the future. So we would suggest that language. Sure.
We visit on this, and I agree with him. And what his goal is to say, you know, you don't have people who say, I'm going to run your race, and then a year from now you can pay me. Okay? That's exactly right. And I think it's a reasonable change.
I'm glad you made that additional, because I wasn't following that. So deferred compensation.
Deferred compensation is where we're looking at mining for customers, as we could say. Also in that, number six refers to not being a lobbyist for 180 days after leaving office. We would suggest that either in 6 or put a new 7 that says to include that you shall prohibit the solicitation of any principal or potential principal for a lobbying purpose while still holding office. Again, as perhaps could happen, last year in office, would you help support? I'll help support your bill, but on the same token, would you please see about hiring me in the future? Something that is not appropriate. We go on. If we'll go over to 105.470, which is the definition of expenditures for lobbying, and in that, there presently, a lobbying expenditure does not include any political contribution that is reported under Chapter 130. So any lobbyist or lobbyist principal who donates to any campaign reports it on the campaign side and not the lobbying side. This changing in the word refers only to monetary contributions. It does not say in-kind contributions. So if you would change it this way, then in-kind contributions made to Representative Witte's golf tournament, if in fact I would give him golf bags, which is an in-kind contribution, then that would appear to be a lobbying expense and not a campaign expense. I think the wording is best to just keep the word contribution. It covers the whole situation. I don't go to your golf tournament, but I just thought I'd bring it out. Because you're on the front row and you're term limited, and and you've been a good friend for a long time, you know. So, the story of my life, you know. The representative is trying to make sure that the only type of expenditure is for the entire General Assembly, be it the entire House, the entire Senate. But he uses the word meals. This needs to be cleaned up to a certain extent because just the way that it is. We would also suggest that if you include the entire General Assembly, the entire House, the entire Senate, you would also include the entire statewide elected officials because they are not included, and they would have to be reported individually. Also, to help clean up the language probably should say, all the members of the Senate, whether or not, or including or not including their staff, because presently the way the law is, when you invite the entire General Assembly, technically you should, if the staff is partaking of this, you should report the staff individually because they're not members of the General Assembly. And we all know that those large functions include staff and everyone else. So just some cleanup language that probably should be in there. Also, there's a question on who is responsibility for doing this. It says invited by the lobbyist. We would expect that perhaps invited by the lobbyist principal, or in fact a member of the General Assembly who the lobbyist would be working with in honoring such a situation. That being said, when you go down to 105.479, which is appears to be a ban on all lobbying expenditures. But it only specifically speaks to, it says, no member of the General Assembly, statewide official, or person acting at the request of the member of the statewide official, etc., shall accept or receive any expenditure from a lobbyist. Does not include a lobbyist principal. All of my expenditures come through my principal. I don't have an expense account for myself. It's through my lobbyist principal. So the wording should be including lobbyist and or lobbyist principal. If that is included, though, it appears to ban all expenditures of any kind, including inviting all statewide officials. So if what you are trying to do is to have only receptions for the entire General Assembly, all members of the House, all members of the Senate, this wording needs to be cleaned up. The only other thing we would bring to your attention, it's an interesting idea, but clarifying 130.031, which is the part that says that no statewide official can solicit any contribution while certain activities are going, including bids, et cetera, et cetera. Presently in law, CON, Certificate of Need, has that ban. It's very narrowly drawn. This appears to be drawn a little bit wider and, in fact, unintentionally may hurt both the governor and the lieutenant governor. Neither one know all the bids that are out there for paper products in the state of Missouri right now. So it's an interesting idea, and it's not something we're not against at all, but I just think the wording probably needs to be tightened up a little bit. But we in the lobbying community are all in favor of as much reporting as we possibly can. We have always been in favor of complete transparency, and we're here to help and answer any questions at any point in time that we can in this matter.
Questions for Mr. Chairman on that last point that Mike just mentioned. Our goal with this bill is not to create a scenario where honest people get in trouble for honest mistakes. You know, we don't want to be in a situation where somebody solicits a donation from someone who they had no idea had a pending decision. And so I'm comfortable tightening that up or maybe changing it to a knowingly. You've got some attorneys on the committee, and so hopefully they can help us clean that up.
I'm sure the attorneys will be most helpful. Questions? I get a lot of looks from all the attorneys here, on both sides of the aisle. Any questions for Mr. Reed? Okay. Thank you very much, sir.
Thank you.
Any further witnesses for informational purposes on House Bill 1500? Okay. That will end the hearing on House Bill 1500.